How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 132 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page as well, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site. Find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Thursday episode now. The Thunder just beat the Pelicans 114-105 in New Orleans. I podcasted with Justin Verrier of ESPN.com, covers the Pelicans for ESPN.com. In our car ride back, we got a bite to eat after the game. And because, let's be real, when I'm in New Orleans, I go nuts. Like, my body hates me when I come back. I eat so much when I'm here. So we went for a bite to eat after the game and podcasted as he gave me a car ride back to my hotel. So we had like a 9 or 10 minute conversation there, which I'm going to splice on to the end of this. Going to take a couple of Twitter questions first, and then I'll get to talk about the game. So here we go. First one is from Adam Joseph. How well does the Thunder's play translate into playoff basketball? I've been really enjoying Lockdown Thunder, he wants me to know. And he called it a must listen. I'm getting really close to the mic. Tell your friends about Lockdown Thunder. That's my subtle plug. Thank you, Adam. How does it translate to playoff basketball? You know, I think what we're going to end up seeing, if they put Andre Roberson in the corner all playoffs, I wonder how extreme a defense is going to go trying to defend that. I think some will be more extreme than others about helping off of Roberson, like the Warriors obviously would because we saw that last year. I think the Spurs would. I'm not so convinced that the Rockets would because the Rockets' whole defensive strategy is taking away corner threes. So obviously they would help off of Roberson. We've seen that so far when Westbrook gets into Lane Adams, Can, or whomever else. I'm not so convinced it would be as extreme with the Rockets, though, as it would be with some other teams. With the Clippers, I kind of feel the same way because I feel like they've got their own guy like that. They've got Luke Bamute, and I wonder how much Bamute they're going to want to see guys do that with Bamute. It would be interesting, though, to see Roberson and Bamute play a whole playoff series against each other and see teams just totally helping off another one. Quinn Snyder is like he's like the closest thing to a Spurs disciple who's not actually a Spurs disciple. Like he coached for the Spurs D-League team. He was an assistant coach for Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta, who's a former Pop assistant. He was an assistant coach for Mike Brown in Los Angeles with the Lakers. Mike Brown is a former Pop assistant. He was an assistant coach in CSKA Moscow in Russia for Ettore Messina, and Messina is now Pop's lead assistant in San Antonio. So it's like he's as close to being a Spurs guy as you can possibly be without actually ever having coached for the Spurs. Adopts a lot of Spurs philosophies. I think he would probably guard Roberson in a similar way. I think that's something. You might see extra help shading over to Russell Westbrook, and that could hurt the offense. Defensively, and I'm doing short splicings for now for the Basketball Insider Show on the franchise, 107.7 in Oklahoma City. And I go on there 4 times a week already to talk Thunder and that kind of stuff. Maybe I don't plug that as much as I should. But Adam is giving me reason to plug everything that I do now. So thank you, Adam, for the inspiration. I go on there and I'm doing a thing for the Basketball Insider Show now on the franchise on Saturdays where I'm doing kind of short, statty segments. They're calling it, I think, Funky Analytics. And one of the things that I'm doing is kind of the Thunder give up a tremendous amount of shots at the rim. They give up a higher percentage of their field goals allowed come at the rim than any other team right now. And it's really been like that all year. This isn't a new thing. Because of that, they're kind of prone to giving up big defensive nights when teams get hot, getting to the rim and that kind of stuff. And a lot of that comes because of the bench units when Adams is off the floor, whether it's Laverne at center or Kanter at center, Sabonis at center. They kind of all give up a high volume of shots at the rim, all those lineups. Even Grant at center, they tend to do that in those really, really small amount of minutes when Grant does play the five. I wonder how that's going to be exploited. I wonder how that would be exploited in a playoff series. I think that's a way that that you can probably get to them too. Next question is from Andrew McKay. He wants to know if I got sauced on seafood again in New Orleans. The answer is yes. Yes, I did. I ate a lot of shrimp again. I spliced in some more alligator this time. Really into alligator. Got some really good blackened alligator today. Really good. Went to Café Du Monde for the first time. Got some beignets. Delicious. Had a good day. Fun time. First night, went to dinner at this place called Mandina's. I got the seafood platter. I have never received so much fried food at one time in my entire life. I'm not a huge fried food guy, but I'm like, you know, when in Rome. But it came like fried catfish. It was a fried crab ball, which is basically a fried crab cake. Fried shrimp. Fried softshell crab. It was an unseemly amount of food. I was not able to finish it. I ate way too much of it anyway. Next one, we're putting in some good ones. So next one we got from SG3. How many haircuts does Billy Donovan get a month? I was actually really excited somebody asked this question because Billy Donovan's hair never grows. And I actually asked this question to Billy once. Billy claims that he gets his haircut every 3 weeks, but I don't completely believe it because his hair never grows. And if you study Billy's hair, never grows. Never does it. Kyle Singler gets his haircut more often. Like, Sam Presti definitely gets his haircut more often because Sam Presti's hair never grows either. Billy Donovan's hair never grows, though. I think he gets a cut. It's some slow-growing hair if he gets a cut every 3 weeks. Actual basketball question, and then we'll get to the conversation with Justin. Now, this is a Twitter name if I've ever seen one. Westbrook equals goat emoji 27 and 19. I've never understood where the phenomenon of putting your team's record in your Twitter name came from. So many people do it now. Their team's record is always in the Twitter name. And it's not Thunder fans. It's everybody. So many do it. I don't understand where that came from. They update it so fast. So anyway, Westbrook equals goat emoji 27 and 19 wants to know, how many triple-doubles do you think Westbrook is going to finish with on the season? So we got his 23rd against New Orleans in a game where I didn't think the Thunder played very well. And I talked about that with Justin a little bit. I did not think they played anywhere close to their best game. That third quarter was sloppy. Turnovers all over the place. Even early, like, they had 38 points in the paint in the first half. But they missed bunnies. Like, they missed makeable shots in that first half early when they were getting to the rim. Open looks, offensive rebounds with good looks. They were missing good looks. They didn't play the best defensive game either. But Russell Westbrook, triple-double number 23, 27, 12, and 10. 8 turnovers, but 27, 12, and 10, 23 on the season now. He's 8 away from Wilt Chamberlain at 31 in 1968. That's the most anybody's had since 1968. He's 8 away from getting to Wilt. I think he'll probably do that. He passed Larry Bird tonight for 5th on the all-time list. 60 now. 60 triple-doubles in his career. 5th on the all-time list. Next up is actually Chamberlain, who's at 78. So the Thunder have, they're 46 games in. They have 36 games left. Westbrook's averaging exactly one every other game now, which is amazing. If he got 18 more, he would tie Wilt. And that's how much he'd have to average. That's how much he's on a pace for, 18 more. I said the other day, I just can't conceivably believe that a dude is going to get 41 triple-doubles in a season in 2017. That's just so beyond the realm of comprehension for me. Then again, before the season, I picked him to get 20. And I thought I was being like crazy bold. I know the Vegas over-under was 20 and a half, but I was like, 20 would be the most. Everyone freaked out about 18 last year and how unbelievable that was. 20 would be unheard of. That would be unbelievable. That would be the most since, even more than Magic did in his best season. No way anyone's ever getting, no one's, 20 would be unbelievable. And I was like, that's bold. That's amazing. I'm going 20. And then he got there in half the season. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he's going to get to 41. I'm going to guess he goes to 35. I feel like that's a crazy amount of triple doubles. I don't, right. The last time someone had 35 was Oscar Robertson in some year. I haven't had a chance to look that up yet because I'm still fixating on the Wilt in 1968. The Wilt in 1968 stat when he had 31. But I'm going to guess that he ends up in that 35 realm. If he gets to 40, man, I guess it wouldn't shock me. I guess it wouldn't shock me anymore because of what he's been able to do. But that would be just an absolutely unbelievable accomplishment. Anyway, let's take a quick break and then we'll get to Justin.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That clicker sound is Justin
Verrier's
clicker sound. So we're in the car after a nice night of meat fries. Meat fries?
Sure, meat fries.
Meat fries.
Call me meat fries.
Of meat fries in New Orleans. Justin is driving me back to my hotel. The Thunder just beat the Pelicans 114-105. Russell Westbrook got 27, 12, and 10. Anthony Davis got hurt. Right quad contusion. New Orleans called it. He didn't come back to the game. Enes Kanter, 4 stitches under his right eye, but he came back and went for 17-11. Adams had 20-11. I didn't think the Thunder actually played that well in this game, especially in the third quarter. What was your takeaway?
I don't think so either. The Pelicans are just kind of all over the place pretty recently. They went in Friday. They had that crucial, like, really bad loss against the Brooklyn Nets where the Nets came in, won their second road game of the season, and dropped 143 on them, which is one shy of the franchise record. Followed that up with a win over the Cleveland Cavaliers without Anthony Davis, and then they come into this one, and I think Alvin Gentry kind of said it best. He didn't really know what to expect, and I think you really saw that there. They're built around Anthony Davis. And when he went out, they definitely struggled a little bit. They found some footing late in the game there, but the deficit was just so big at that point, they really just couldn't do much with it.
Yeah, they made a run. They made their run. The Thunder were sloppy as hell in the third quarter. So third quarter, Thunder gave up 37 points, 8 turnovers, a lot of fast break points. I think 10 of those points came off a turnover. So right there, that's the difference in the quarter because the Pelicans won the quarter 37-28. 6 threes in the quarter for the Pelicans. They were, like, really spreading without Anthony Davis about. Steven Adams said after the game that he thought the Thunder were struggling a little bit because the Pelicans started switching everything with Davis out, and he thought the Thunder did a not-great job adjusting to that, which is something. But they kind of locked down late. Victor Oladipo had a big steal. I'm wondering from you. You get to watch Russell Westbrook a lot on TV. Obviously not as much in person as I do. I think Russell is a very different experience in person than he is on television. What's your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. He just plays with a certain degree of recklessness and violence. Not to say that he's a reckless player, because obviously he knows what he's doing out there. He has his own style of playing. But it's totally different. He really draws the eye. He really forces, I imagine, defenses and the viewer to really take attention to him. Whereas with Davis, I mean, it's funny because Davis is thought of as this just kind of dynamic star, this guy who I think when he really rose to prominence was kind of that league pass alert guy where you were just sitting there watching games at the end of the night and he would just be doing something amazing. You just had to go and see it. But especially this year under Alvin Gentry, I mean, I think he's more likely to just shoot over the top of you in the mid-range than he is really to go kind of dunk over you, catch those alley-oop slams that he was really kind of known for. And I think the statistics kind of back that up, where he's shooting less from inside 3 feet than I think at any point of his career. And so it's kind of the opposite with Russ, where he's just such a physical talent, and that's where his gifts kind of lie, that it really stands out in a game like that, especially when in a game like this one, he's really the only guy who plays that sort of way. He's really that only guy who is such a physical, dynamic style of player.
What was up with the paint defense tonight? Because that was bad.
I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, where the Pelicans are in their kind of progression. I mean, they want to play small, and they've really had success with that with Anthony Davis.
You know what's weird about them, though? Like, they were a top 10 defense coming into tonight in terms of points allowed per possession, but they're so prone to games in which they just get killed down low. Like, they give a 143 spot to the Nets, and then, like, tonight they give up 38 points in the paint in the first half, and it's not a Davis being hurt thing, because in the first half they were giving up, like, there were plays where, like, where Terrence Jones was trying to front Adams, and Jones just kind of didn't pay attention that Russell Westbrook was lobbing an entry pass to Adams over his head and didn't even make an effort on the ball, and Adams just got an easy dunk. That happened twice on, like, back-to-back possessions. Like, it's their paint defense gets so weird at times.
Yeah, I think it just speaks to kind of how all over the place their roster is, really. There aren't any clear answers next to Anthony Davis, which, I mean, the Pelicans have had issues in the past, injuries, obviously, and then, you know, some of the personnel decisions have been kind of derided that Dell Demps made, maybe not necessarily the type of frontline talent you'd want next to Anthony Davis. But this year, there's just not any clear answer as to really who fits around him, especially in that front court. So they started Terrence Jones in this one, I think in large part to just kind of mitigate some of the issues that they might have had against guys like Steven Adams, Enes Kanter, because they have such problems in their small ball look kind of defending and guarding the paint, as we mentioned. I mean, Davis is thought of as this great rim protector, and yes, that is one of his main skills, but a lot of times he's probably better off coming over from the weak side and blocking those shots and allowing kind of a more stout guy, a guy like Terrence Jones in the past, Ryan Anderson, and then Omer Asik when he was, you know, useful, to do kind of the dirty work, to be that kind of big body. And then you saw even early on with Alvin Gentry, he turned to Omer Asik, and Omer hasn't really played, I think, 5 minutes since December 21st. I could be wrong there, but Omer has not played, and all of a sudden, there's Omer, because they really need to match up with what the Thunder present. And then, after a while, you realize, well, that's not really what we're doing. We've been having so much success with small ball. Let's just try that. And I think that's how they were able to come back. They played to their strength. So it's such a game of kind of like Rochambeau with them. It's like one instance, yeah, Terrence Jones will help you on the boards, but he's not going to spread the floor for you. Or you put Dante Cunningham there, yeah, he's going to spread it a little bit, but is he really doing a lot on the boards? Is he really going to give you everything else? So it's kind of just that whole mix and match thing, and I don't think they've really found an answer.
Isn't Rochambeau rock, paper, scissors?
It is, indeed.
Why did you say Rochambeau?
Because I wrote it the other day, because the way I think of Rochambeau is more in the South Park sense, where it's more kicking of the nads than...
Such a weird term choice. Such a weird term choice. We did see Alvin Gentry kind of subscribe to the philosophy you're talking about with Davis defensively, though, because he had him guarding Domantas Sabonis early, and I think you can wonder, like, why is he guarding the guy far from the rim? But, like, I think that was because they were helping off of Sabonis aggressively, and he could just be that weak side help defender who comes over and swats shots when, you know, Russell Westbrook gets into the lane or whatever it is. I think it just brings an extra crowd to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the big question with Davis. He's such a rare gift, but at the same time, not only are the injuries a concern, especially, and you start to wonder, he's now missed at least parts of seven of the past eight games, and that just happens to coincide with when they've gone small and put him more at the center. You wonder how much his body can physically take that, and you also wonder like what they really do around him in order to kind of balance things. And the two big options that the Thunder can throw out there really kind of screw them up, I think, because I think Amin El-Hassan of ESPN really said this best in a really, like, kind of out-of-the-way 5-on-5 that we did early in the season. They need Davis to be the role man, and they need him to be the stretch five. And you think you see that on defense as well. When you have a guy like Sabonis, he's going to draw him out of the paint and make him kind of useless as a weak side blocker.
Right. Anything to plug before you go? So your stuff's at ESPN. Your Twitter is Justin at Justin Verrier, V-E-R-R-I-E-R. What else you got?
I'm sure there are a bunch of injury newsers to come. I wrote one tonight. And, yeah, you can just look out for the next one.
What a depressing answer. You can subscribe to Locked On Thunder on iTunes. You can find my work on normantranscript.com. You can subscribe to the Norman Transcript if you live in Norman and you want to get the print version, or you live in Oklahoma City and you want to get the print version. You can check out my blog, Thunder Road. That's on the site under the sports tab. You can find it there. Find me on Twitter at Fred Katz. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow. Thunder on the second half of a back-to-back. They are Dallas at home. First home game in 15 days tomorrow. So that's something. I'm actually going home. I can't wait to go home. I haven't been home in a while. But I'm going home for the first time in a while. The Thunder are too. And until then, until tomorrow night, Locked On Thunder is locking up.